Hello and welcome to the second chapter of Managing Project Vendors. If you remember, in the first chapter, we discussed about the needs to outsource, the advantages and disadvantages of hiring a third-party service provider. So why do we outsource, and what are the different risk elements or rewards associated with outsourcing? We discussed about having a collaborative approach to managing vendors, where the different activities, sourcing, procurement, and vendor management work in a collaborative model rather than working in silos. So here we would discuss what should be or what could be the framework of a vendor management office, be it in terms of different activities or the people or the skills that you would need to have for an effective vendor management office. What are the responsibilities and skills required? So this would be the chapter 2 for managing project vendors. So vendor management is an integral part of end-to-end sourcing management process. So sourcing starts right from identifying who do we outsource it to, and then the entire need analysis, contractual negotiations. So vendor management is an integral part of the entire end-to-end process. It is the key to the organization's aspirations of attaining a value for its investments. Now, outsourcing, the primary objective is cost effectiveness. The reason is to achieve the same or better quality and getting access to better technology and the latest in technology at a reduced cost of operations. So vendor management becomes the key to ensure that the returns on that investment is delivered, so that the outsourced vendor or the third-party provider meets the quality parameters and the organization achieves the value for the investments made in outsourcing a key business or a business process or function. So vendor management function can be a federated role. Federation is where you align different activities to multiple groups, just like a state or a national federation where you have different states reporting to a central government. So even similarly, vendor management can be a federated role where you could have activities performed by various groups in an organization. But the key objective here is that all these activities and various groups work in a collaborative model so that information flows easily. Everybody gets the regular updates with respect to any foreseen risk elements or any disruptions in product or service, and even the performance standards of the outsourced vendor. Involvement of multiple parties, including IT managers, service delivery, end users, the procurement team, the operations manager who would pass on key inputs to the third-party service provider, project managers who would manage the entire project and the vendor engagement, contract managers, be it in terms of legal experts, financial experts, who would help in drafting out an agreement within the organization and the outsourced third party. These are a few activities that a vendor management office is supposed to undertake and deliver for an effective strategic outsourcing initiative. You would have the organization must have below parameters to succeed in a multi-vendor outsourced environment. We discuss in chapter 1 that for a particular business function, an organization may involve multiple third-party service providers, or you may have multiple business functions outsourced to different vendors. So here you would have a multi-vendor outsourced environment. So what does the organization need to do to ensure that these outsourcing initiatives, objectives, and goals are met, be it a financial goal or a process goal like we discussed in the earlier chapter? So first is build a formal and mature vendor management office framework. That is what we are going to discuss in this chapter. What should be the framework of the vendor management office to manage the outsourcing relationship with vendors. Architect a VMO function to achieve the organizational goals. The vendor management office is created to align the outsourcing and the vendor management vision and mission with the organizational goals. So how do we architect a function which works to achieve the overall goals and mission of the parent organization? So we set out a formal VMO mission and a VMO charter. What these are, we would discuss in the next few slides, such that it aligns well to the organization vision. You cannot have conflicting visions for the organization and the vendor management office. The mission and the vision of the vendor management office needs to align with the overall vision of the organization, be it with respect to the growth of the company, be it with respect to delivering quality products or services to the end customers, or the financial goals and vision of the company. So here, you need to formally set out the team roles within a vendor management office. Now, you would have multiple team players, you would have legal experts, you would have project managers, you may have IT managers as well, operations managers. So you need to define and formally set out the team roles within the vendor management office and responsibilities. You need to have a reporting structure within the vendor management office. So how do people report into, for example, the head of the entire vendor management office? What is the review mechanism, the frequency of reviews, the dashboards or the templates that we would use for reviewing and assessing the performance of the vendors? The mechanism to ensure that vendors meet the compliance and industry regulations as well as the contractual obligations. So understand the competency needed to manage the vendors. For example, again, speaking of the banking example, if a bank decides to engage a third-party IT organization, the bank needs to have someone internal with the required know-how to manage the IT vendor. You cannot have a banking professional manage the entire outsourcing engagement with an IT organization. So your team members in the vendor management office need to have the required competencies to manage, review, and even suggest inputs to the outsourced third-party vendor. Chart down key performance indicators. So how would you measure the performance of the service provider? How would you rate the success and failures? These key performance indicators, KPIs, need to be formally set out in the contract with the vendor. So how do we measure them in terms of the standards, customer specifications, or even the frequency of measurement and the operational definition of how do we measure each KPI? So this would be the vendor management framework that we would talk about. You have a VMO program. Now the VMO program is central to the organization. This would be for the overall organization for any number of outsourcing relationships that you have. So you may have multiple vendors, but you have a central VMO program for the entire organization, and you have a sourcing strategy. A sourcing strategy in terms of supplier management and sourcing execution, right from identification of vendors, the RFI process, the RFP process. So we will discuss those as well. You would have processes for relationship initiation and establishment. So initiation means the process of getting inputs from different service providers and vendors and identifying the most suitable vendors for your requirement and establishing the relationship. So the contract negotiation, the agreement stage, how do we agree on certain standards? How do we agree on the policies, the review processes? Then we have the contract management process, followed by the continuous improvement program. So once the relationship initiates, how do we ensure that we continuously improve upon the delivered performance in terms of, again, quality, customer satisfaction, cost, and timeliness? So this would be the entire suggested vendor management framework. So we would discuss each of these key activities individually. Now, we had four key activities, a VMO program as a central way of how an organization deals with managing multiple vendors for the organization. So a VMO program would consist of the mission and charter for the vendor management office. Again, the mission and vision for the vendor management needs to be in line with the overall organization vision in terms of quality, growth, financial targets which a company may have. The sourcing strategy and planning. How do you plan? So do you have set processes and policies in terms of how do you float a tender? Or how do you gather inputs from multiple vendors for a particular outsourcing requirement? So you need to have a governance model to run the entire vendor management outsourcing for the organization. Relationship initiation and establishment. And this is where we would start collecting inputs and identifying the right vendors and service providers for the organization. So we classify the different vendors, we have different categories of vendors, we discuss about them. We could have hardware vendors, people who sell physical products like desktop computers, air conditioning machines, or even chairs and tables and workstations for an office and provide repair and maintenance services. Then we have software vendors, we have telecommunication vendors. So vendor evaluation is done, selection and onboarding is done. So we evaluate vendors on a set parameters. So before we understand, okay, we need to outsource a certain requirement, we need to have evaluation criteria for vendors. So have they carried out similar projects in the past? And if they have, what has been the success ratio? Have they been able to meet certain quality standards or not? And when we get inputs or a letter of intents from different providers, we negotiate the guidelines. We get them to an agreement stage and have a formal onboarding process where they start delivering on the outsourcing agreement. We have the contract management process, which would have a standardized commercial, legal, and financial terms. So usually the vendor management office would have legal and financial experts who would give their inputs to formalize a legal agreement with the outsourced vendor. And then once the relationship starts, we could get into the continuous improvement mode where we gather inputs, we measure the performance of the service provider, and we ensure that we improve upon the performance. There should be a continuous improvement that we achieve. So we manage the performance, performance management, vendor development. We gather inputs from end users. We take inputs from different stakeholders. So we review mechanisms. So these are the four different activities that we had as part of the vendor management framework. So the VMO program, as we discussed, would have the mission statement. The mission statement and the charter for the vendor management office, along with the sourcing strategy for the organization. This would be a strategy which the organization would use for hiring vendors for multiple outsourcing requirements. So one organization may outsource multiple processes, customer service, information technology, to the extent of having vendors supply hardware equipments. So you need to have a unified strategy on how do we manage vendors for different requirements. The process needs to be set, which needs to be followed by whoever is part of the team which runs the vendor management office. So we could have different groups involved in vendor management. However, they need to adhere to a central strategy which has been set by the organization. Portfolio analysis reports. So how do we analyze reports from vendors? Business case analysis. So this is where the vendor management office would actually analyze and assess if we really do need to outsource. And if we have to outsource, what category of vendors or service providers do we need? At times we may outsource small activities to individuals or small organizations. So here you identify the need to outsource and the extent and the category of the outsourcing relationship that suits best the requirement of the organization. You would have the implementation plan on how do you implement the sourcing strategy, all the processes. You will also have benchmarking reports from previous outsourcing engagements, which could be internal reports. You may also have access to external outsourcing engagement reports. You have multiple reports available from industries or from consulting firms, which you could use as benchmarking, especially when you are trying to establish the key performance indicators for an outsourcing engagement. The governance structure and mechanism for the entire sourcing. So what could be the guidelines or the compliance measures? So in a nutshell, the entire VMO program would talk about how would the vendor management office go about identifying the need to outsource, the decision-making process, whether we have to outsource or whether outsourcing does not seem to be the right fit for a particular requirement, to the extent of how do we gather inputs from qualified vendors, how do we analyze and assess the qualification of vendors who express an interest in outsourcing. So this would be the vendor management program. What are the business benefits of having a structured vendor management program for the organization? Well, it gives direction to the entire vendor management process. As we spoke about, how do we go about assessing the needs to outsource? How do we go about collecting inputs from interested vendors? And how do we check and assess the qualification of vendors? How do we onboard them? So the entire vendor management program would give you the list of policies, steps, along with benchmarking reports to give direction to the outsourcing engagement and initiative of the organization. It would have objectives and structured decision-making process. So how do we make a decision? How do we have a go-no-go process for outsourcing? Portfolio and spend analysis. How do we foresee or forecast the expected return on investment for the organization when they decide to outsource an activity to a third party? Cost benefit analysis. How much does the organization stand to gain from an outsourcing engagement? Maintaining transparency in sourcing. Right from gathering RFP proposals, tender documents, to decision-making process in hiring a vendor. There needs to be a transparency in terms of why an award has a contract has been awarded to a certain vendor or a service provider. So from the VMO program, we move to the next level activity, which is relationship initiation and establishment. So how do we initiate an outsourcing relationship with a selected vendor? So what are the deliverables of this activity? One, a vendor classification criteria. So depending upon the requirement, how do you classify the vendors? How do you collect proposals for them? So how do we send out a request for information? There's a formal process on how vendors would apply and would display or would talk about their expertise or would explain why would they qualify for the outsourcing requirement that your company must have. So you have a request for information and a request of proposal, RFI and RFP stages, where you collect inputs and then the entire vendor management office team would go through these documents and would check if the vendor qualifies for the requirement, both in terms of expertise, in terms of previous projects carried out. At times you may have requirements for the vendor organization to be of a certain size in terms of annual revenue, in terms of team size, in terms of number of office locations they may have. And obviously, the quotation for goods and services as per the requirement that you may have. Then you have a vendor evaluation criteria. So again, in the evaluation process and in the selection process, you would look at the vendor's expertise in terms of the skill level that they have, or technology that they have, the previous projects that they would have carried out. In the previous projects, what were the key performance indicators and how did they perform vis-a-vis the agreed upon standards? As well as, once a vendor qualifies with respect to expertise and experience, we look at the quotation for the goods and services. So obviously, for all the qualifying vendors, usually the lowest quotation is selected. However, it could be case to case specific as well. For example, in certain cases, we may require vendors who would have previously worked with your organization. So there you already have an established working relationship. So how do we evaluate and how do we select a vendor after we collect the RFP documents from each qualifying vendor? So we have the entire vendor acquisition procedure. So again, the RFI, the RFP, the evaluation process, all these are integral parts of the entire acquisition process. Market intelligence. So how do we gather external inputs or information about the outsourcing requirement and the vendor as well? So apart from the documents that we would receive from the third party provider, you would also gather some inputs. For example, we may want to check on the credit score. We may want to check on different customers who would have worked with them. So there are different references that you would want to tap to get some external report or some intelligence which would help in decision making before the contract is given to a respective vendor. So you have due diligence guidelines. This generally happens after a few vendors have been shortlisted. So you have an entire due diligence procedure. This exactly means that we go and we verify that whatever had been mentioned in the RFP document is true or not. So it's more of an audit process where after the shortlisting is done, someone from the vendor management office would go to the vendor organization and would conduct an audit and would check if all the things mentioned in the RFP process were true or not. So we cannot go by the face value or what's been written in the document. Before the final contract is signed, we need to assess and audit and check if that was exactly true or not. Once that's done, we move into the negotiation process. So once we've identified a couple of vendors, we get into the negotiation stage because now they need to agree to our terms as well. This is the stage where we would discuss the quality standards, we would discuss the compliance measures, the industry regulations, we would come to the service level parameters here. The timeliness parameters, customer satisfaction, there would be further negotiation on the quotation that was given to by the vendor in the RFP document. So here we would move to the negotiation stage. So now what would be the benefits of the entire relationship initiation process and the establishment process? One, it would be a structured process. So a structured initiation process lays the foundation for accurate demand mapping. If we did not have a structured process, information would be submitted at its own pace on how do we review them. There is no structure behind it. So for each outsourcing requirement, we may end up following a different review mechanism. So what that does is the entire process of identifying or selecting a vendor becomes people specific. If you have different people managing the outsourcing relationship in different cases, the entire process is carried out as and how a particular person would like to do it. Once you have a structured process, irrespective of whoever is responsible, they all follow the same process. And hence, you have better results, you have more transparency, and greater accountability when it comes to the vendor management teams. This also allows us in risk mitigation through careful vendor evaluation. Remember the due diligence process? We did not just agree upon selecting a vendor based on the declarations made by them. Before the negotiation, we had a formal due diligence and audit process where we go and we assess the qualification of a vendor. This allows in better control and mitigation on the risk elements. So obviously you would have a structured decision making because we've gone through a series of steps and defined processes right from floating tenders, collecting inputs, conducting audits and assessing the qualification of a vendor up to the terms of negotiating a contract. So we would have a standard communication with all vendors while soliciting proposals. As mentioned, if you have a structured process and if everybody follows the process, your entire mechanism becomes process specific. So irrespective of which individual is involved, they all follow a standard process. So the results, the negotiations, the communications, they all follow a standard procedure. The entire process and mechanism is standardized across the organization. So it becomes easy for everyone involved in the process. Awareness of latest technologies and trends, because we have evaluated multiple vendors. We have collected inputs from multiple vendors, and we've even gone to the extent of going and auditing shortlisted vendors. So now we are more aware of what's available in the market for our specific outsourcing requirement.